got the authority. You have authority to rebuke them from the pulpit. Now get up there and do it, young man. I tell you, if a lot of things are rebuked from the pulpit, then the brothers and sisters don't have these fusses and these little civil wars that arise out of our own members. We need not only to correct them, there needs to be a manner of approaching these problems before they happen, to anticipate them. And the Holy Ghost does anticipate our problems. Did you know that? But he can analyze you before you ever get there. He already knows what you're going to do. And if the man of God's in tune with the Holy Ghost, that's already analyzed you, that's already preceded you with a prognosis that he knows is going to develop, then that fella can get up and offer some form of a cure for that particular spirit that's going to work and bring about that confusion, that they can be corrected. Christians can be corrected many times, and their spirits that are wrong subdued, and bringing about a peace and a forbearance in the love that we manifest that will correct those things before they ever happen. We won't have to have these trespasses against our brethren. We won't have to have these ecclesiastical courts, these old church wars and all of that mess. God would rather correct them and give us warning of them. Praise God, we have men out here in the Weather Bureau that tells us when the storms are coming and when we're going to have high pressure and low pressure. We need some Holy Ghost men that can read something beside the signs of the heavens. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and scribes and he says, hey, you old hypocrites, says you can read the signs in the sky and tell everybody when it's going to rain and when it's going to be hot. But said, how is it you can't read the signs of the times of my coming? Let me tell you, we need some signs that the devil's about to get loose on us and get the message and get the work, our prayer life, all in full operation, geared up to praying intercessionally and with supplications. Praise God, that will raise up a banner and a standard that the devil can't even infiltrate the defenses that we set up against in a perimeter defense that we know that's about to break upon us. The warfare, his troublemaking devices and schemes are always apparent to a wise Christian, and we can take wise steps in setting up defenses and being able, through the forbearance that we have. Forbearance means something goes out ahead. We can curtail his activity in our own lives and in the lives of someone else's through a strong prayer life, through strong manifestation of love. Somebody you don't like real good, you start loving them. Praise God. Go around and forbear them in love. Forbear them in love. Somebody you love real good, you don't have to go around and lollygag on them. Somebody you don't, you ought to go around and forbear them in love. Hey, I know he ain't very likable, but I'm going to love him anyhow. And you can stall, you can stave off that old civil war that's about to rise and that transgression that he's about to commit against you or someone else. Then the church don't have to be full of publicans and heathens and sinners. We don't have to be casting somebody out. 1 Timothy 5:20 says, them that sin openly rebuke before all, that others also may fear. That's talking about those that sin against the Lord, those that break God's commandments. If it's two brothers, we still have the words of the Lord. Go to your brother and him alone. If you win him, you've gained your brother. But if you didn't win him, take with you one or two more. Then in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. And I tell you, that's very important for us to always keep some of these things in our mind, that we can stand up and be a threat to the devil's devices to create civil war in the camp. Back in Joshua's time, in Joshua 7:10-13, Joshua fell on his face because the church in the wilderness was losing its battles against the enemy. And the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, get up! There's sin in the camp, and I'll not be with you anymore until you get that sin out of the camp. I'll not go with you. And there gets to be sin in the camp. Paul said, put away from you that evil
person from among you, if he's called a brother and he's a fornicator, or he's covetous, or he's a drunkard, or an extortioner, or a railer, or an idolater, put him away from you. Don't even have nothing to do with him, to eat with him. And put that wicked person from among you, because you judge them that are within, but God judges them that are without. That don't leave much up to be judged. People charge us with judging in these matters. We judge those among ourselves that's professing to be God's people. Them in the world, we don't judge. God will judge them. But the Bible says we judge them that are within the body. God judges them that are without the body. In conclusion, one scripture here from the Holy Ghost in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are called or sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice, no hard feelings. Put it away. Get it out. Put it away from you. And here's the way to manifest the fact that you have put it away. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. The way you can forgive easily and simply is when you understand God's forgiveness for you. When you understand what God through Christ did for you in forgiving you a long list of transgressions and sins against Him, then it's not difficult for you to forgive your brother or sister their trespasses. You can even forgive the preacher. That's about the hardest thing people do, is forgive a preacher his trespasses. Praise God. He needs your forgiveness. He needs you to be tenderhearted, forgiving, just like the members do. And I pray that God will help you to do these things and help bring peace to your own life and family, and peace to the church, peace to the community. For all these things contribute to the lifestyle that is quiet and in the fear of God, that we won't need the police around. We won't need lawyers. We won't need court trials. We don't need to spend our money out here in litigation suing somebody, because we trust God to work these things out, and we do it in a manner that Jesus Christ Himself prescribed, that would bring peace, that would bring stability and strength to us. We need not to be nervous, because it works. It's been tested and tried by hundreds of Christians that have resorted to God's ways, and I'm one of them, and it works. And I commend the message and the Word of God to you, and for His grace to keep you, keep your heart, that you won't tremble or shake because you submit to God's directions, as this message has brought to your attention today. Let us pray. Our Father, in Jesus' name, we ask You to touch us, Lord, that we can be worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called, in all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Forbearing, praise God. A love that goes before. A love that we've already made up our minds to. If my brother or my sister or my neighbor transgresses against me, I'm going to love him and I'm still going to forgive him. Even if he don't ask me to, I'm not going to harbor any malice, hold any grudge in my heart against him. He's going to have to repent to get it straight with you, but I'm not going to be brought into bondage by having an unforgiving spirit.